Honey, are you having fun on this cruise?
Yeah, it's fine.
What's the matter?
Well, we're adults, right? I was hoping this cruise would be aimed more at our interests. An erotic sea journey free from society's judgment.
Maybe I can help.
Who said that?
Down here.
Oh my goodness.
Hi, I am Rekime Mutombo, the slightly shorter identical twin brother of retired basketball player Dikembe Mutombo. If you're tired of the average puritanical sea cruisers, journey with me to where society's rules can't find you. Under the waves on Rekime Mutombo's sex submarine. We've converted a decommissioned Russian sub into an anything-goes underwater pleasure tube. Journey under the sea where days are indistinguishable from nights. Your basic humanity will disappear as your life becomes a hypnotic churn of filthy pleasure.
You mean all of my carnal desires will come alive as we and a bunch of other wealthy, sexually repressed couples will experience each other's flesh and embrace our inner passions in a poorly ventilated environment?
That's what that sign says.
How are the buffets?
Plentiful.
Are these buffets of food or people?
With the right paperwork, anything is possible.
I'm sold. I want to go on a Rekime Mutombo sex submarine cruise right now.
But you are in one. We've been in a squish room this whole time.
Whoa, thanks Rekime.
Don't thank me. Thank International Waters. Rekime Mutombo Sex Up, where you want to sex Mutombo.
Hey, folks, this is the Mascot Wedding Show, the Internet's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hatta.
My name is Mac Blake, and we are recording from Austin, Texas, in the Hodgecast Studios, a.k.a. the Hodge Pound.
You caught me off guard. I didn't know what noise to make, so now I will make this noise.
That's right, we are your Radio Lions. And this is episode 292, The Town That
Never Went to SantaCon.
Oh, SantaCon, is that a Santa Claus theme convention, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
For all your Santa needs.
That is correct. And we got a fun show in store for you today. But first of all, David, how the hell you doing?
I'm doing all right, Mac. Spring break is over, and now we are well into sweating season. So congratulations to all of us for making it there.
It turned that fast,
it
I have
did.
To say. Because here in Austin, every spring break, we have this Omni Festival that keeps the entire town called South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it was kind of cold and a little cold too long. And then as soon as South By happened, it got hot.
Yeah, exactly. Like we're breaking open fire hydrants and stuff and watering down the kids.
It's like the mayor turned on the secret sun, the sun towers or something.
Yes.
Like the gross sun towers.
How was your South By there, Mac Blake?
Oh, my South By was okay. I do want to talk about one particular incident, and I'll get to that a little later
first
in the show.
All, how rude of me. How are you in general, Mac Blake?
I'm doing good. I feel like I'm juggling a lot of things mentally.
Yeah, you want to unpack?
No, it's okay. Fine. I mean, it's nothing like, you know, stressful or anything like that. It just is, you know, a lot of little things I have to keep track of. But it was nice coming to the show because I was like, you know what? All that stuff, get out of my brain.
Yeah.
Time to just focus and have a conversation for a while.
Yeah, let's not use our brain for the next hour, man.
I won't. Be friendly with friends. by the way, guys, stay tuned until the end of the podcast. We have a special announcement. But now here's a second special announcement. We recorded like a membership drive premium. That no one knows what the fuck that means.
Okay, let's break this down. Membership drives help keep things afloat. We were on a thing that needed to be.
No. What we have is a collection of recordings featuring a certain character from the show, Arthur Truckies.
That's right. He is our longtime nemesis and owner of Truckies gas stations.
That's right. And we have a bunch of bits featuring him, a bunch of phone calls and various things, and including one that is not from the Mascot Wedding Show proper.
That's right.
And we're going to release that on Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm.
It was previously given out to people who donated to a past version of this show. But now we're going to put it on Bandcamp for a dollar.
Yeah.
And so we'll post about that. And it's really a funny thing, and you can get it for super cheap. And so check out our... We'll make an announcement about it on Facebook.
We'll give you the full court press, guys.
Just wanted to give you a heads up. It's something to look forward to.
Yeah, just letting you know. Hey, we're clearing out the inventory, guys. Everything must go.
Why is that? We'll find out later. But David.
Yeah.
Silently staring and judging at us, we have two very special in-studio guests today.
That is correct. Let's introduce them now.
You can see them every Friday at 8:30 p.m. at Cold Town Theater as part of one of Austin's best improv groups, Bad Boys. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Byron Brown and Sam Malcolm.
Hey! What's up, noodlehead?
Hey, you guys, what's going on?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm glad that we did a levels check for the show, and you were secretly planning on yelling the whole time.
You blew right through that little green light.
Sorry, I blew it.
No problem. First of all, let's get some attach some voices to some names. Byron?
Byron Brown here, sitting across from you. Bad boy.
And we're recording again. Sam Malcolm?
Hey, I'm Sam Malcolm. Guess what? A little behind the scenes for you. We just paused the podcast.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't tell people that.
Why'd you fucking say that?
The people have a right to know.
No, I bet if you were to poll them, no one would care.
This is fascinating to me to watch. I'm questioning all my favorite podcasts now. How much editing goes on behind the scenes?
Oh, none. They're terrible. Most of them are terrible. This is why we edit it, is because we don't want to waste people's time.
That's right.
Yeah. Nice. I didn't plan on coming into this to be the villain, but God. I will if...
I opened the door for you and I said, hey, Sam, thanks for doing the podcast. Really appreciate it. And you kicked me in the nards and you said, I didn't come here to make friends. And I was like, okay, well, that's just like every other guest we have. So, I thought that was a weird tone to set.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, if you're a podcast listener at home right now or in your car listening to this particular podcast, why do you think we paused the Mascot Winning Show podcast recording? Was it A, Byron had a boner and had to take care of it? B, we had to fix Byron's audio levels? Or C, Sam got a phone call and his ringtone was LFO's Girls of Summer and we can't play that on the podcast or we have to pay royalties? So
I like girls who wear Abercrombie and Fitch.
What did Byron say?
Excuse me, I have to take this call.
ASCAP, guys, come on. We got to pay rights. But hit us up on Twitter at Mascot Wedding with A, B, or C. Let us know what you think.
Let's flash forward. Oh, the answer was C. Of course, Sam got a phone. No, we had to adjust audio levels. Boys, how's it going?
Going well. Feeling good. The weather is beautiful.
Oh.
Describe the weather and how you feel about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's...
Oh, when okay.
Should I not?
Man, there's a movie that I knew was going to be bad. And
so we'll put a pin in the weather.
Well, no. I'm getting right to it. And so... You know when you like see a movie and you're like, no way. And somebody is like talking it up and you're like, no, fuck, that movie's going to be bad. And then you get a review and it's bad. And you're like,
sure.
That could be of anything when you're right about something. But it's not even right because it's just an opinion, you know? Yeah. If somebody likes something, good for them. But a movie that I just think looked really bad. And if you like it, great. But the Walter Mitty.
Okay, yeah.
Ben Stiller one. I remember I had to watch the trailer again because it was in front of like a movie I had rented.
Emotionally manipulative trailer.
Yeah, I bet. There's a part where he's pretending he's like some Arctic explorer. And so Kristen Wiig like falls into his arms and he goes, the ice, she moves like a woman. And I just remember being like, oh, God, imagine in real life if some creepy guy was like, oh, I lost my balance. Ah, the ground, she is shaped like a woman.
It's hard to pull off. An accent does help.
Yeah. So, Byron, please describe the weather like it is a woman.
It is fair-skinned, 5'10".
The weather is 5'10" outside right now?
It's long gusts of wind going down its curvaceous back.
Nice.
I don't know. I'm not doing a good job.
So it's a real Jessica Chastain of a day. And I love it.
You can see that lack of confidence display every Friday at a Cold Town Theater.
did I not seem confident there?
It's the only improv where you just bail out of stuff.
Yeah, let
me do that more confidently. Let me read. No, I'm not going to do it.
Hey, we'll give you another shot later in the show.
Okay.
Maybe we'll go on a patented Mascot Wedding Vision Quest later.
Yeah. Nice.
No promises, though.
Vision Quest, Matthew Modine. Do you guys see that movie?
No.
No.
Madonna did the soundtrack.
She did the soundtrack.
She did the whole soundtrack.
Well, engineered it?
There was a song.
Craft services.
There's a song featured on that soundtrack by Madonna. That's
get in
super
the groove.
Good.
What
it's about it? Wrestling.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, real wrestling.
I think so. Yeah. Vision Quest.
That's weird. Because did he like take some peyote at any point? Like go on a Vision Quest.
I guess it was like Vision Quest. I have a vision to dominate wrestling.
Mm. Oh, because that's the movie where he plays the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. Which is a weird movie to make because he wasn't even famous yet.
I know.
So that's pretty cool. Vision Quest. All right. On Byron's recommendation.
So it's Matthew Modine. Who else is in Vision Quest?
I want to say that she was really big in the 80s. Linda Fiorentino.
Okay.
You know, remember her?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, in fact, you know what? I got it queued up right here. Let's listen to a scene from Vision Quest. Hey, Jeremy the wrestler, you better win this big match.
I have a vision, Linda, and I'm going to win the match. For you, for my family, for my town, and for my country.
Jeremy, could you come here, please?
Oh, God.
Jeremy, is that your weird wrestling coach?
It's
Jeremiah Foxcatcher?
That's right.
Hey, what's going on?
I don't like the way you're talking to Linda.
Wait, what? I'm sorry.
I don't want you talking to girls, Jeremy.
I'm okay. I'm in love with her.
Well, I'm in love with you, but we won't talk about that overtly.
Get into the groove. Oh, you got to
no, groove. It's live to tell the tale.
Oh, God damn it.
Yes, this is what he has to deal with every Friday night.
And there it was. There's a clip. That's weird that I didn't know you and Sam were in that movie arguing at the
guilty as charged.
He brings it up on every podcast we do.
That's a huge deal.
That director sounded furious, by the way. Yeah, I don't know what his deal was.
He seemed really a man.
Yeah. Very avant-garde to include his direction in the final cut.
How about that?
So, Sam Malcolm, question for you. True or false, Bad Boys consists of just you and Byron?
Unfortunately, that's false. Psych. Burn notice. Very fortunately, that is false. It's also Brett Tribe, John Bolden, and Ed Reed. Ed Reed is actually Ed Reed the IV. For those of you into long storied lineages, you might want to come see our show.
So is Every, is his dad, and he have the exact name, or is like the middle name different?
Let's get Ed out here.
Let's go on classmates right now.
Well, I was like, hey, bad boys. Pick your two best people, and then all those guys canceled. And so Sam and Bud, classic ribbing, classic busting.
Burn notice.
Did you guys have a good South by Southwest?
Yeah.
Did you do anything for it, guys? You don't have to. That's the thing.
It's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's too much.
It really is just a, like, why does this, why does this festival have to have interactive comedy, music,
and
film.
Be real for a second?
Yeah.
Of course.
I don't think I have genuinely personally enjoyed a South by Southwest experience since 2007.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I always experience this feeling of anxiety and, you know, you're just overwhelmed and you don't quite, always feel like I'm missing out on something.
No, yeah. It's weird because it's like.
But I have moments where I'm enjoying, but just overall, I'm like, was that enjoyable?
Mm-hmm. Maybe you had at least, what, like two short films or two films at South by this year?
In the Texas shorts, yeah, I was in like two short films. So I got a badge, so I got to experience some of the film festival.
And what were the names of those films?
Detective Calzone.
No, what were the real names of the films?
How dare you? You had that loaded.
I did. I was actually well aware.
Let that one be first.
We were waiting. What were the name of those films?
I was well aware of Detective Calzone because they released some art for it, and it is a really weird, like, Photoshop smooth version of you.
Well, he got some guy to. That's not even a picture of me that's been Photoshopped. It's all digital. He got some guy out of, like, Sweden to do that.
Oh,
like,
it's
online.
It's odd.
It's odd, but it's great. But it's also like one of those movies that they go see on Seinfeld, where it's like, Sack Lunch is sold out. Let's go see Detective
Calzone.
It totally
is. It also kind of reminded me of like movies of the early 90s, like those bad comedies that you would see on VHS, like. Well, not bad comedies, but like Ace Ventura or like Who's Harry Crumb. That's kind of what I think the director was going for. That sort of.
How was the response?
We got some laughs at the screening that I went to, so it was fun.
So some laughs. That's going to be the poll quote on the.
Some laughs. Raves the star of Detective.
There were a lot of laughs.
It's funny the effect that South by Southwest has, because really it's like. It's a fun time and there's fun out there and a lot of it can be had for free. Mm-hmm. It's like there's this giant free party that is thrown every year. You know, not all of it is free. Of course, there's definitely like a class system, badges that plays into it. But because it's like so big and because of like the way social media is and the way everyone is these days, it really is like this thing where it just it you know, builds that FOMO, that fear of missing out.
Mm-hmm.
Or FOMO. Yeah. And it's like a weird anxiety builder, and it's odd that a thing that, like, you know, and you don't have to go to it, but it's something that, like, now...
I think leaving town is the key, because I did leave town
halfway and the feeling kind of went away. Mm-hmm. But if you're in town, you like can feel it. You can sense that something's happening.
I
don't know. Or you just know you can always just go to a show at any moment.
Mm-hmm. It's also weird in a way because, you know, it's not like, you know, Mission Impossible is premiering there. It's like a, for the, like Get Hard, which was like maybe like the big movie.
Yes, that was the big one. There was a working print of Trainwreck, the new Apatow.
They did have Furious 7, though, which is pretty awesome.
But that'll be out next week.
Yeah,
like, you already bought your tickets for that, so it's like, oh, okay.
I did, that is true.
But it's like, you know, it's weird because it's like this combination of sort of like B-level to A-minus level sort of entities or properties.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And but it somehow does, someone said this the other day, and I was like, couldn't argue with them. When you're in Austin for it, it does almost make it feel like Austin is like the center of the universe for a week, which is weird and kind of dumb. Like, oh my God, TV on the radio played a Zynga party. Like, you're not.
Well,
you're
it makes it seem like, you know, like the king is in town and he's just like occupying your village.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you live in that village, but like they're just like acquiescing to them the whole time.
Yeah But it's overall it's just weird because like you're still trying to live your life because this is where your job and friends and family are and stuff like that, and you're trying to navigate through this thing. Like I ended up with a badge after I went on record as saying like, this is the first year I'm not even gonna pretend to do anything. Like, all right, I'm done, guys, I'm done getting overwhelmed by this. And then godfather of the show, John Erler, a badge landed in my lap because of him, and I was like, oh well, I absolutely have to use this. And so I went to screenings and stuff, but there were nights where I was just getting together with friends and they had badges too. So it was like, oh, well, hey, let's go drink in this place where they have free beer. And we would go in and like Wiz Khalifa was playing. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't want to see this though. Do you want to just hang outside like in the background while we just get drunk for free?
It's like the internet.
It is
in
like the
real life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I
right? It's pretty accurate.
The internet in real life. Like, oh, I'm going to change this YouTube video.
That really, yeah.
I get anxious in these movies, especially when you're like, this is going to be mediocre. Oh, God. There's so much happening outside right now.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
sit through this movie.
I did I did a few like official South by shows, like comedy shows this year. And I have to say, actually, all of them went pretty well, which... The last time I was like on an official South by comedy show, both shows were bad, and they weren't bad in that like what was happening on stage was bad. It just the audience couldn't give a shit because they're all on their phones.
Yeah,
it's like this thing of like, oh, you know, I got to jump to this next panel or I'm missing out on something.
Yeah.
So I think we made a big stink on these shows. Like, hey guys, this is fine. If you're gonna be here, if not, get the fuck out. Like that kind of thing.
A girl near me recorded a video message to her boyfriend during Hannibal Buress's stand-up set.
Oh my god,
that sucks.
And somehow my stink eye didn't prevent her from doing that.
Well, because you have a very lovely stink eye.
Yeah,
like it's
you have very soft eyes.
You do. She might have thought you were just like, hey, I want in on some of that message to your boyfriend.
Is that why it ended with her breaking up with him?
Oh, baby.
Oh, well, okay.
Oh, give her the Furious 7. I love the dance. I'm sorry. It's like, no one's seeing this.
He's dancing
Sam
right now.
Sam Malcolm is dancing a victory dance.
However, it's also a week, though, that going back to South by, where Austin, I mean, here's the thing. This is not important by any means, but this sort of like Austin identity that we all buy into. You know, like, nah, we keep it weird. You know, like, our mayor is a hacky sack, like that kind of thing.
Right.
Where that kind of just like disappears for a week, and like all local stuff, for the most part, is like kind of shit on or something. And I don't know, but you know what? It's fun though.
Yeah.
I mean, it just that's the thing. It really is just managing your own personal level of anxiety. However, so there's this I have a little South by story. So there's this business in town called Mondo, and they put out. art prints and various other products based on movies, and they do like amazing work. Like they'll put out like a Jurassic Park art poster by an amazing artist, and that's just an example. Like something else that they did is they released the Drive soundtrack on vinyl with a really amazing illustrated cover.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came out with it, and it sold out. And a lot of these things like sell out super quick.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, because they do limited runs on them, and so they become collector's items immediately.
Exactly. And so they did a limited run on this Drive vinyl soundtrack, and it sold out. And then they released some copies for Record Store Day, and I went out that day to try and get one,
right.
And missed out again because the place I strategically stalked. Oh, we didn't get it, even though we said we're going to get it. And so Mondo announced that they were going to do a pop-up store at the Highball, and they're going to re-release a bunch of their old soundtracks.
Oh, neat.
But here's the thing. It's like, and I was like, I'm going to leave work to go buy this vinyl soundtrack. Here's the thing, guys. I already own the Drive soundtrack on MP3s. I have a record player. I never listen to
okay.
it. It's just this weird collector's mentality. And Sam is, by the way, trying to crack a beer and keep it sound. Crack the fucking beer,
yeah,
my man.
You're being overly surreptitious about
it's
it.
It's real weird.
Yeah.
Instead of a brief, it's like, I'm going to spend 30 minutes cracking this beer.
Okay, well, I don't know the rules of your podcast.
You're listening to Tin Rip Open.
Yeah, crack it. Let's get some on mic beer pops here.
Wait, hang on. I got to do this. You go first. Go ahead.
Yeah, into the microphone. Yeah. Oh, boy, that was a good one. Oh.
Now all I want to do is crack it open into the mic, and there aren't any left.
Well,
so.
You fucked up, loser. Anyway, what's your story, Mac?
There's some more beers in the fridge if you finish that one, Sam.
Boy, being the villain has really backfired on me.
We have 7 flats of Lone Star in this man cave. We'll be fine.
But going back to that record player, which it's weird because it's like that collector's mentality,
mm-hmm.
where it's funny because I feel like the way that media is going, I don't want to be like a bad comedian, like everything's in the cloud these days. But that's one of the things I like is like I had a CD collection, for better or for worse, if you want to call it. And then like now that thing is on my computer and my phone, I'm like, well, why do I own these things anymore?
Right.
So every year, like I used to have a CD rack that was like full of albums. Now there's like 20 left.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't like feel the need. And hopefully it's like making me own less stuff. Because as I get older, I just don't want to own things anymore.
Right. Yeah.
But I definitely also want to own things.
Yeah.
There's something aesthetically nice about, you know, looking at like at a shelf with a bunch of vinyl. Mm-hmm. You know, or a CD rack or a wall of books.
Yeah.
We don't need any of these things anymore, but they look good in your place.
Well, it's also
smart.
Yeah, and it's the thing that I maintain because I had a very big movie collection for the longest time, and I've been paring it down lately. But I kind of maintain in my head, like, if I were to die, I want people to watch these movies and get a sense of who I was. And I was like, right. No one's going to fucking sit through, you know.
They're going to go through your internet history and get a real sense.
Oh, they're going to get too much of a sense. Oh, he had some teenage issues. Okay.
They'll have to get a sense of you when they bulldoze your body into that mass grave.
Oh, my
Because
God.
All cemetery land of the future is used up.
Let's talk about that. That's the elephant in the room.
There we go.
Humanity, right?
Issue number two.
It's weird that humanity is an elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no, I'm saying like that's the elephant in the room for humanity.
Mass graves.
More like the Zumanity in the room.
Oh, what?
Dream of California.
Well, when I die,
I got scared. I forgot you're here, Sam.
When I die, I just hope that my consciousness is uploaded to a different body, like Chappie.
Like, right? Yes, like Chappie.
Is that how Chappie ended?
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert. Fuck. Whatever.
Yeah, you had your time, and I think everyone who saw Chappie was going to see Chappie.
Yeah. What'd you think of? I didn't see it. I kind of wanted to, even though hers was bad. What'd you think of Chappie?
You know, I'm a defender of Chappie. There were some questionable choices. It wasn't exactly what was advertised, which was my biggest thing.
For example?
I didn't know Burt Reynolds was going to play Chappie.
What? Wait, hold on. So Burt Reynolds was like the voice of Chappie?
Well, no. He was dressed up as a robot.
Hang on. Okay, I need more clarification. So Burt Reynolds was dressed like a robot? He was Chappie.
So
Burt Reynolds was Chappie.
It was like Burt Reynolds is Chappie,
Sam.
And like Diantward doing like scenes together.
Who?
That like weird techno-ish
band?
Yeah,
his buddies that were in the movie or whatever.
Yeah, they got like the shaved head and like the weird
clothes.
Yeah,
those were super weird, like totally unrelatable characters, and Hall & Oates was a very weird choice to play them. But
Wait, no.
I like the movie otherwise. It had great action scenes.
No. Sam. No, Diantward was in the movie Chappie.
What is Diantward?
It's some dumb band. But yeah, they were the characters in the. They weren't played by Hall & Oates, Sam.
But you saw.
I saw Chappie, and Hall & Oates played these two South African gang members.
One
was a lady named
movie?
Yolandi, and one was a man named Ninja.
No, Yolandi and Ninja. Those were both in Chappie.
Well, it was Daryl Hall and John Oates, one of which went to high school near my high school, so that's pretty cool.
Philly Pride.
Philly Pride.
Wait, where did you see this movie?
Yeah.
I saw it at the Googleplex.
Okay.
What? Did you know?
The Austin Googleplex?
Yeah, I got a Groupon for the Googleplex.
Yeah, it used to be that old Tinseltown.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. Okay, yeah. See, that theater is owned by a Saudi prince who we have had conversations about for many, many years. He makes his own versions of movies. So the version of Chappie you saw wasn't the version that came out in theaters. Did it seem weird to you when you were watching Chappie and Burt Reynolds was dressed up? Like, what was he wearing?
Well, he was just dressed exactly as he was in Boogie Nights.
Wow, that's crazy. You know, I've always wanted to go to the screenings, but, like, you know, they never really announced when they're going to be.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I heard there was an American version of American Sniper he funded with Hulk Hogan.
Yes!
In the titular role. And I tried to go, and they told me it was sold out.
Yeah, yeah. I've had that. That theater has been bad news ever since that one time we went to go see The Mummy Returns.
Yes.
And it was there was a poster of Mama from Mama's Family outside, and I was like, that's not The Mummy Returns.
That's right. That was back when it was in the Sunken Valley Google.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So weird vibes coming from Kudos
I don't
want to
make it seem like I'm not recommending this movie, though, because it did have really great action, and I kind of liked all the actors.
So we should still go see Chappie?
Yeah. Somehow Hugh Jackman was the worst part.
Oh, so he was in
so
both
Hugh Jackman still in it. That's kind of weird.
Doubling up.
That makes total sense for Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Well, since we broke the ice with spoilers, I'm just going to keep talking about it.
Sure, might as well.
The screenplay was flawed, and maybe some of the casting choices were weird. Mm-hmm. But he really, like, by the end of it, you really felt for the characters. And when Chappie was, like, going through, he was being attacked and kind of, you know, like, people were trying to kill Chappie. I just thought Burt Reynolds nailed it. And I haven't cried in a movie since Her because I'm sensitive, but you know.
Burt Reynolds nailed like the death scene in Chappie?
Yeah. Well, he developed this weird relationship with John Oates where John Oates was his mother character.
Okay.
Which is some people maybe think is corny, but for whatever, I don't know, maybe I was in a sensitive mood that day.
Was the entire audience right there with you?
Yeah, me and those two other guys.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. So it wasn't
only
well
three
attended?
Other people.
No. Yeah.
Was one of them wearing like a cloak, like a white cloak?
Yeah, like a white cloak with a bunch of jewelry.
I think we're getting closer, man.
Man, I'd love to go see one of those shows. Well, that
one.
I didn't think Burt Reynolds could pull off shooting anti-aircraft missiles out of his arm socket. But
hold on.
That's amazing.
That sounds like the best.
Hey, you
right?
Know what?
Like this movie rules.
If someone in the future wants you to go see Chappie, don't go see it. Just keep that memory in your head.
Don't see it if you don't want to experience a great
time. No, I'm saying don't see the real, you know, whatever.
I'm saying you never see real Chappie.
Real Chappie, that's what.
Yeah, real Chappie.
That's what you start calling.
Mark Cuban played the tech guy that invented Chappie.
Oh, my goodness.
Which made it more believable. It also
that
took
sounds
it a,
terrible.
It took it a little out of it because you're like, well, this is Mark Cuban. This isn't some other guy. But if anyone could invent a Chappie, it'd be Mark
Cuban.
Well,
what was the name?
Play himself?
Yeah, I was about to ask that.
No, he plays Clark Moobin.
Clark Moobin. Clark Moobin.
He's like a low-level employee of a robotics company, but he's the one who invented these robots.
And so what did Hugh Jackman do in the movie?
Hugh Jackman played an uber-religious stock bad guy character who invented like a bigger robot.
Oh, well, that happened
who
in
played
the
bigger robot?
Oh, that was Alf.
Hang on. Alf?
The guy in an Alf costume.
Hey, man, you believe what you want to believe. I believe it was Alf.
Believe.
So wait, for all we know, it might have been an actual real life Alf.
If anyone had the resources to make contact with and bring an Alf to Earth, it'd be a Saudi Arabian prince, right?
That you know what? Fair. Like, fair point.
I don't know. This is weird. It's a weird thing that you saw this.
Well, just next time you go to the Googleplex, just report back to me immediately. I want to know.
Tell you what, if you feel comfortable, maybe bust out your phone, record a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just, you know, if you can.
Yeah. Well, I did buy tickets to go see Furious 7 next week with Clark Kellogg leading, so.
CBS's Clark Kellogg?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
That should be interesting.
They're trying to cross-brand it with March Madness right now. So.
I'm going
to
try and, I'm really going to try and go to that. That sounds great.
Yeah, that actually, I'm interested.
I definitely want to hear about
Hold on, can I say something really quick?
Sure.
You know that Alf was, like, not a real alien, right?
Okay, just because you're big South by Southwest badge man, I'm in two shorts. You're trying to discredit my opinion on this movie, Byron?
Wait.
Sorry, President Calzone.
That's nothing. It's a Detective Calzone, Mac. Don't do this, man.
What do you mean Alf is not a real alien? We've all seen him. He's a hairy little man who loves eating cats.
To be fair, I've seen him standing up like full body. Like there's no wires.
I forgot about that. That is true. They did get some shots of him standing up.
That's right.
You think he's born on this planet? Get the fuck out of here, dude.
Oh, hey, let's keep it civil.
Could you imagine if Alf was a real alien and they just cast him in that show? Like, it's kind of like a false flag thing where it's like, oh, hey, look, it's a puppet.
Where's that screenplay? I could see Kevin James doing that.
I could see that Charlie Kaufman taking a stab at that whole universe.
Yeah, Alf adaptation. Oh, I hated it. I hated it immediately.
Like, maybe Kevin James plays like a costume guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's the costume department of a movie, but they're like, these designs are terrible. Craig, if you don't come up with a new alien design tomorrow, you're fucking fired. And he's like, I can't.
He wishes upon a star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, God, I wish I'd come with an alien costume. And this alien, like, you know, he's like fighting it or something.
You said the magic words.
That's, oh my God, is Alf here right now?
I'm Alf.
Hey, Alf, how's it going?
Kevin James said the magic.
Am I doing a good impression here?
No, not at all. Hey, Willie. That's my Elf.
Hey, Willie.
There's also like an extremely sexy Australian model who's like,
what are we
the
talking
actress
about
in this movie.
The love interest of Kevin James.
This is me just going on my own Walter Mitty side
about my
fantasies. No, this Kevin James movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Extremely beautiful blonde Australian model who's like the actress in this fictional movie that's being made.
Played by?
Well, there's only one lady, right?
Yeah.
Whatever that girl's name was in Focus.
Brigitte Nielsen. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Margot Robbie.
Yeah. Oh, that lady. Where's she from?
Australia.
Australia.
Oh, good for her.
It's a continent and a country.
It sure is.
What? Yeah. Double dipping.
Ugh, that's the name of the movie.
Can we keep pitching this? Like this set?
I feel like we can mail this to ourselves. Yeah, we're ready.
Let's do it. Let's shop this around. So I was at that pop-up store.
Oh my God, yes.
I know.
Thank you for incepting us back to the conversation.
And so I show up at the highball, and they said it's going to open at noon. And I left another thing that day. And I remember I was at this other party, and the music was playing. I was like, God, this music is like poorly mixed or something. Mm. And it's just loud, and it's just kind of shitty. And then I show up at the highball, and they're setting up, and it's like there's no one in there. And I just walk in, and I was like, oh, is this not open yet? Or is it going to be open soon? Like, oh, there's a line. And so I go in this other room, and there's, of course, a huge line to get in.
Mm.
But there's also a band warming up to play later. And I just want to give them a shout out because they started playing like a kind of a Ennio Morricone sort of style theme. I didn't recognize it, whatever, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I just remember like sitting there like listening to it, and they're just doing like warm-ups, and I think their name is like Federale or something like that.
Okay, that sounds familiar.
And I'll look it up or something. But anyway, I was sitting there and I just started smiling because it was really cool. But anyway, so they
had
a nice little moment. But anyway, they opened the doors to this pop-up store, and it might as well have been Noah opening that fucking ark because the animals like pouring in there, and so the line is like feeding into the store, right, and they weren't like, oh, let's cap the number of people in here or that kind of thing. It was just a fucking rush. And so when I right before I turned the corner, I heard one of the employees go, no climbing.
Oh.
Which once I turned the corner, there's nothing to climb.
Uh-huh.
What were they climbing? Each other?
Yeah.
And people like picking, like reaching over each other, and like some guy was trying to leave and he was like shoving to get out of there. And it just was this moment of like, oh, it was like a Black Friday moment.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just like fighting over these records. And I just was like so much like self-disgust.
Yeah.
just washed over me. And I just was like, oh, God damn it. Like, this is so gross.
Mm-hmm.
I just hated it. And then I was like, this guy was like, hey, if anyone's looking for something individually, let me know. Because, you know, there's basically, it was like a record store almost. So you just like, you know. You're fingering through the racks.
Right.
Hey. Exactly. Bip, 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 bing. And so he's like, if anyone's looking for something particular, let me know because I can pull it from the back. And this guy said this right next to me. And as I turned to ask him about the Drive soundtrack, four other people rush up to him. So this guy next to me who's like looking at me, sort of, and these people were shouting, but he's looking at me as he recoiled from other people. And have someone recoil from you, it was also a bad feeling.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And then somebody else was like, hey, do you have Drive? He's like, no. And I was like, gone. I just left.
Uh-huh.
And I just was like, oh, I hate myself. Plus, I drove down there. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Parking was a nightmare.
Parking was actually easy. And then I took a shuttle to the Hyatt to like go to a panel.
Okay.
Because I was like, well, I mean, work is, they weren't paying for my badge, but like, you know, I was getting off work to do it. So I was like, oh, let me go see a work-related panel. The panel I chose, of course, was terrible.
What do you guys think about competitive rack fingering? Like, you go into a record store, are you fast? Are you good? You got to find five
albums. There has to be a network.
You get in there and, like, you have a time. You have to, you know.
I'm fast, but I'm not accurate. Like, yeah. I can finger the rack pretty good.
Sure, but are you taking it in? Are you are you processing it?
No. Part of it? Sometimes I skip. Sometimes I'll cheat and just, like, go four over.
Sure.
And it's like, I might have just missed that Roxette single that I wanted. I don't know.
I feel like that's a good, like, DJ competition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you build up a bunch of records and you have them in alphabetical order.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, all right, ultimate party mix. Because isn't that, like, that show?
Ultimate party mix?
Yeah, no. The clothing one, what's that called?
Designing Women.
Tim Gunn hosts it. What's it called?
Oh, Project Runway.
Project Runway. Doesn't he give people like a certain amount of time, like a fabric store or something like that?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, you give DJs like a certain. I'm describing a show I never want to watch.
I feel like this is on like VH1 Classic.
Yeah.
We take it in a different direction, competitive rack fingering, and I'm talking about fingering breasts.
Oh.
Here we go.
Now we're listening.
So what are
never got my call back.
Let's edit that out.
Are there any female listeners to the Mascot Wedding Show? Get out of here.
My bad.
Push your boobs against your Zune. or competing MP3 device.
Stick your pono in your cleavage.
Hey, men have boobs that could be fingered.
That's true,
yeah.
You know, hey, I'm glad you said that. Thank you, Sam.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I would want it to be exclusively man breast.
Oh,
you would want that.
I want that for this particular sport that I'm describing.
Well, that show will never air.
Internet, buddy. YouTube.
Like Howard Stern has three channels. So
hey, by the way.
Byron's already texting a producer to get this rolling.
Let's get it rolling, people.
Hey, Calzone here. I got an idea for a...
Decal on the horn. Got an idea. Just take dictation. I'm high on cocaine. In a convertible.
It's pronounced cocaine.
Cocaine.
I keep seeing like shit around town, like on people's cars and stuff the actual shit. And it's like KCCO or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is that? And then like keep calm, chive on. I'm like, what is this chive? And finally I went to it. It's just a bunch of boobs.
It's a dirty site.
Yeah.
But it's got like, it's a dirty site with a philosophy. Like, because they also do like fundraising and they help people, which I don't get which one came first, whereas like, hey, guys, we just want to raise awareness about hunger and starvation, but also here's some titties. Like,
yeah, I was talking about, I was asking, like, what is this thing I keep seeing? And the guy's like, oh, it's kind of like just a cool site. Like, people help each other out, too. Like, I was wearing my chive shirt, and some guy, I went to go pay my tab, and some guy's like, hey, or the bartender's like, some guy already paid for your tab. He's like, he said drinks were on him, and he said, just, you know, keep calm, chive on.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, weird. It's like some weird pay it forward thing. And then I go to the site and I'm like, no, man, it's knockers.
Yeah, it's a fight club based off of nip slip economy.
Yeah, like, why are you chivers pretending this is anything more than boobs?
I don't know. We should get a chiver on here.
Yeah, it's like people were like, man, I love that fucking lobster buffet at the Yellow Rose strip club. No, you don't. No, you don't like it. You like having a boner in a dimly lit club. That's what you like.
I just wonder what it was about chive and not like, how come we don't have this weird like snorg tease cult where it's like, hey, you rocking a snorg? Yeah, I'll buy that car.
Oh, the snorg tease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
MySpace ads everywhere and just the hottest.
Like on Deadspin.
The hottest girls from Clemson, apparently, or something.
Have you guys ever looked at one of those lists of like health inspection on restaurants here in Austin? Like, and how all the restaurants rank and everything?
I have not.
No.
I'd be curious to know how the Yellow Rose ranks.
Yeah.
Or some of these strip, like the lobster buffet. That sounds like a nightmare.
Something, yeah, someone had to have
cubic
gotten...
hair buffet is more like it.
But who's...
Not these days, my man.
Who's cooking these meals?
Oh, right, right.
Who's cooking these meals,
70s,
though? And isn't it possible that they have a personal pride in their work and an ambition?
Yeah,
that, like, yeah, maybe, no, it is. Maybe they're like, look, I know that the society is thinking that this place is nasty, so we got to really step up.
Yeah. I will say something in full disclosure. There was a summer several years ago where Mac and I and some friends were like, hey, let's try to have as many burgers in this town as we can. Mm-hmm. Like, so it was the summer of burgers.
Summer of burgers!
And
what was the name of our group, David?
With the Gerbras?
The Gerbras.
That's right, because we were Burger Bros.
We had shirts made.
Uh-huh, we did. That's right.
What summer was this? What's the backdrop? What's happening?
The year is 2008, my man.
Cue Rolling Stones.
We're not really doing anything. Like, we're not doing a little comedy stuff. But we just wanted excuses to hang out with each other.
Yeah. I was out of work for about a year and a half by this point, and I just wanted to eat burgers. And one of the burgers that kept coming up was like, hey, you got to try the Yellow Rose. And so I tried the Yellow Rose burger, and it was a burger. It actually, it was a lot like the tavern, because it had like that sort of sweet roll.
Sweet roll, yeah. And I, honestly, like, because there was like a list of like top 10 burger places in Austin, or a couple of those lists, and Yellow Rose was on there. And so we went to check it out, and it was myself, David Hotta, our friend Long Lay, and my fiance, current fiance, him and Estrada.
That's right.
We're both dating other people at the time. Fun fact. Wow. And the person I was dating at the time was a vegetarian. And when I told her about the summer burger thing, she's like, I love that you picked an activity that I can't go to. Excuse me. I love that you picked another activity.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to scrub off this writing on the wall.
Yeah. No. Yeah, seriously. I don't know. 3 years too long.
She sounds like a nightmare.
As soon as we finish this Summer of Burgers thing.
Who is this girl?
I want to tell you about something I found of hers. So we went to Yellow Rose, yeah? And it's like, when you bite into the burger, it's sweet, and I actually enjoyed the taste. But then at the end of it, like the cigarette smoke the weirdness of
and
the
just
club.
The cocoa butter permeates.
It really was like, at the end, I felt sick.
Yeah, because we also went in like early evening on a weekday.
Yeah.
And so, look, I'm going to reveal a little bit here. They don't bring out the A squad.
Sure.
It's not varsity.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, the JV squad kind of hovering around your table thinking, oh, these people surely didn't come for the burgers.
Yeah.
They're here to see my yam yams.
Right. So and you're, you got that happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I mean, I've had fun at strip clubs before.
What?
Like,
as have I.
But at the same time, even those times when I'm just like, got really drunk, I was like, let's go to the strip club. Like, I still was like, if I look anywhere, I get horrified. And it's not because of like, it's terrifying strippers, right? No, the clientele.
Yes.
I remember that day because there's a man with like, I wish I could find a character, but like imagine someone who's like had, lived too close to Chernobyl, and so the hair has fallen out, and so the hair is just now in strings.
Mm-hmm.
And now imagine it's to their shoulders and they haven't showered in a week.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then that person, like as soon as this weird, like balding, stringy haired individual walked in, like all these like strippers just like flocked to him. And he just literally was just like handing out money to them.
It's like it was Robert Durst.
Oh, I think it's
what's his last name?
The Jinx.
Durst. Yeah,
the Jinx.
Yeah.
That guy rolling into a strip club, and he's evil and creepy, but he's a gazillionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was. I just remember watching it, being like, oh, I hate this. I've seen like a. Oh, we went to New Orleans one time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we did.
And we made it into the second day before going to strip club.
Yeah, we held out as long as we could.
But that was because we basically just did the old, let's have a conversation with somebody.
Oh, this is a good place to get drunk. Basically, that's been my philosophy about strip clubs for a very long time. We're just like, I'm not there to see the ladies. I'm there to just drink $8 beers.
Well,
yeah, but you eventually have to have that awkward conversation with one of the dancers, like, I am worthless to you.
Well, when I have enough $8 beers, I don't have that conversation. I have, get over here.
Oh, God.
You're dancing to Yellow Submarine.
No, but this one, a stripper came over to our group, and we started immediately kind of, I mean, the kind of a conversation we'd have on this show.
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing? And we just like sat down and talked to her for a while, and she would say things like, man, I'm so glad, like, I don't want to go back to jail or that kind of thing. And then when she climbed the pole later in the evening, she was like, what's up, Austin? And like pointed to our table. They were like, and we're like, whoa. And then secondly, we're like, we got to go. Like, but at that same time, I remember looking over and seeing a guy just petting the hair of a person and that lady just seeming so scared.
Yeah.
And I just was like, oh, I hate everything about this.
Sam Malcolm strip club experience. Go.
Go.
Go. We have a place in my hometown. I grew up in a really small town called Harleysville, Pennsylvania, which is about 45 minutes outside of Philadelphia.
You fucking hick.
So there weren't like strip clubs, but there was you'd call it a topless bar, but it was called Cloud Nine.
There weren't strip clubs, but there were ants.
What?
Aunts.
Okay. I wasn't sure which you're referring
to. I know.
There wasn't a strip club. There were cousins. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we had a street called Main Street.
Sure.
And it was on Main Street and a little farther out of the way. But I remember going there one time with some friends because we were bored and like we were in college and we were like 21 now.
That's what you
gotta
do.
Let's go to the topless bar. Whatever. We'll just hang out. And we go and it's just like maybe like a dozen people in there around this square bar with a woman dancing in the middle.
Yeah.
who just like after each song ends, just like walks around and everyone hands her a dollar. And the next dancer comes out. But it was like this saddest. I was like pretty sure I went to high school with this one girl and I was like tired of giving these girls a dollar. Like I wasn't even looking at them anymore. Uh-huh. But this one girl like came around and basically like wouldn't leave until I gave her a dollar to like move on to the next guy.
Yeah.
So that's the one and only time I went there.
That's the only time you've been to a strip club?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
Went to Cloud
I've been
Nine.
That particular establishment.
Oh, okay. Cloud Nine. Yes.
No, he's been to a lot of strip. I mean, we do that every week.
Yeah. You are the bad boy.
I don't really have a desire to go to a strip club anymore. Back when I was like curious about it, I was just like too poor to really even enjoy it.
Well, how's the old bank account right now?
What is holding you back?
Still not in a place to go.
Okay.
I'm curious about the idea of a strip club in terms of like, do we want to like do a rescue mission for these girls, or is it like these girls are like
they are fine?
Exactly,
they're doing great. They're empowered.
Can I tell you something?
Are they? It's very weird.
They're doing better than you are. And I don't mean that like as a knock on you. Yeah. You walk in there, they're clearing a lot of money a night, and it's my money. And it's like, you know what? You win. You have the superiority over me, Crystal. Yeah. You're doing all right.
Maybe I'm just not as progressive in terms of sexual philosophy as that.
Sure.
I'm a bit old-fashioned.
I mean, that thing is what it is. It just is not for me. Like, I just can't go and, like, pretend like I'm enjoying this or something like that.
Yeah, I definitely, because, man, there was a time when I was going a lot because I had a drinking problem. And now it's the furthest thing in my mind, except every once in a while, like I'll get a few in me. I was like, I remember this feeling. I remember other feelings too. Strip club. And like,
it does feel like, I remember, cause there's one night when the previous girlfriend I was talking about, we got into a fight where she was being a bee to me.
Oh Lord.
And I called up Dave and I was like, man, I was just going home with this lady. And she was like, we got into a fight. What are you doing right now? And like, we kept hanging out. We went to a strip club.
Yeah.
And I forget, we ended up talking to somebody, like a stripper or a server for a while, and she like gave us her number. And I was just thinking about that just now, because I was like, what did she want us to do? I think she asked us for drugs at some point.
She probably wanted coke from us.
I became MySpace friends with a stripper after going to a bachelor party.
Oh, no.
And, you know. Don't get me started on that one.
I want to get you started on that one. What were the repercussions?
I just remember, I think maybe somebody called me out, like, who is so-and-so? Who is Crystal? Who is Amber?
Wait, her MySpace name was her stage name?
Yeah. No, you know what? I think she was a server. She was a server.
Oh, the hottest.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who don't get naked.
This was 2006.
Okay.
I like how we are
different time
playing both sides of the thing. Like, oh, they're gross also. Hey, this one time.
I'm allowed to have conflicting thoughts.
I'm a flawed person, okay?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know what? You get that peer pressure at these bachelor parties, right? Everybody wants to, you know, that's when it happens.
Yeah.
You know, the first opportunity I had to go to a strip club I did not take, it was a bachelor party. We all met at this dude's house, and he was like, oh, check it out. Let's start the evening right. And it was like he put on some little person porn.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, now we're all going to a strip club. And he had rented like a U-Haul truck. And so they opened up the back and all these dudes just climbed in there. And I just like, nope, not doing that. Not doing that.
Yeah, that was in Jackass. Yeah. Just roller disco in there.
I did go to a strip club for my brother's bachelor party and saw probably like the biggest baller move I've ever seen in person, where like half our party got there before the other half. And we were kind of like waiting to all like split the cash or whatever to get bottle service in like private section.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah,
and my brother's one friend, the guy who had like the best job, is just like getting annoyed and just like finally pulls out his credit card and gives it to him. And is like, you could just give it to us. We'll put it on that.
Yeah.
And like charge like $2,000 right there.
Dang. That's pretty good.
And I was like, baller. And then I think I got kicked out.
Oh, you don't remember?
Nah, man.
Good story, bro. Yeah, we didn't need that at all.
So this person that I dated for a really long time, she's a nice lady, but we were two different people, and I don't know why we dated for 7 years.
Yeah, we get it. She sucks.
But we did, and she's married now, and I don't think about her, and I bet she doesn't think about me, which is the way it should be.
Yeah.
But I was going through some old letters, and there was a card from her in there. And it was an anniversary card. And it was like, happy anniversary, which, by the way, I never write cards. Mm-hmm. And so I guarantee you whatever was happening that night, like maybe I bought her a gift or I paid for dinner or something like that. I guarantee you when she's like, here's a card, my reaction was, oh. So I opened this card and it was like, hey, I'm so, I'm very happy to spend another year with you. I feel like we had a great year, even with the war.
What?
So this was like, I think September 11th happened our third year of being together.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So she's talking about the war in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Terror. The war on terror.
Right.
She's like, even with the war going on, we still managed to have a good year. We weren't fighting in it.
Ruined a lot of good relationships.
You know what you just revealed? I feel like a lot of relationships during that time period in the early half of the 2000s went on too long because of 9/11.
Oh.
People were like, holy shit, what's happening with this world? I just, I have you.
Hot take.
I'm going to cling to you for too long.
I mean, I'm a pretty...
9/11.
Ruiner of lives.
Because I had a similar experience.
Oh, really? Tell me.
Well, I don't want to go into detail. I don't like to talk about my personal life.
Oh, okay. We'll be right back. No, but did you?
I mean, yeah, I can relate to being in a relationship for too long, for like 7 years.
She'll definitely listen to this. Is that what
she's
you're
not
revealing?
Gonna listen to
yeah,
this.
Exactly.
So you guys are an improv troupe together. Let's turn the spotlight back on you guys right before we get out of here.
Ooh.
So Byron and Sam, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have done how many shows have you guys done together?
Literally 100. Maybe 100? Hundo?
Probably like 150 shows.
Hundo 50?
Hey, maybe don't say literally if you don't know then.
Literally. Well, we've been doing a weekly show for about 3 years, right?
3 years, yeah.
Wow, so that's a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of shows.
So imagine you guys have a pretty good, like, or I imagine you guys have got a pretty good, like, group mind going sometimes.
No,
right?
not particularly. Mm-hmm.
You can't really predict what each other is going to do, that kind of thing?
Nah, we're pretty, actually, we're very predictable. Yeah, we know what we're going to do.
We pretty much do the same thing every week.
Every
so.
Week.
Tell you what, why don't you guys, real quick, take this peyote, and why don't you guys go on a co-vision quest?
Mm.
So, tell you what. Tell us about the perfect day. And not Byron's perfect day, not Sam's perfect day, but Byron and Sam's perfect day.
Okay.
And you wake up, and like a vision quest, you have to wake up in a teepee.
We're glad.
You just took some peyote in a teepee.
And let's do an improv style. Let's paint the scene.
The sunlight is hitting both of our faces.
Keep it under 5 minutes.
We have two windows in the teepee, and somehow the sun's coming through both windows.
There's a light sprinkle outside. It's raining a little bit, but not enough to get inside of the teepee through the windows. This is a special tent.
Are you sleeping head-to-head or head-to-toe?
Head-to-head.
Okay. Head.
Cool.
We're brothers.
Spooning? Or back-to-back?
I start lightly, gently kissing Sam's neck.
It's a perfect day.
Butterfly kisses on his neck. I slowly reach down into his pants.
I pretend I'm still asleep.
I'm going to take you seriously because I know you wouldn't dare lie on a mascot winning vision quest.
Yeah. I'm just trying to be honest right now.
All right.
Now.
Okay.
What is my perfect day? That would be amazing. I'd be like, dude, Sam is letting me do this.
Byron pulls out the Bowie knife I keep hidden in my pants and says,
I'm not going to cut you. But if you want me to cut you, I will cut you.
It seems weird that this is your perfect day. But go ahead.
And it is 8 a.m. at this point,
yeah,
I'm assuming.
It's 8 a.m., right, guys? All right, where do you...
Smash cut to 11 a.m. brunch. Holy shit, what just happened? You blew me in the teepee. Can I get another round of mimosas?
What happens in the teepee stays in the teepee. Can I get a Bloody Mary? Mimosas make me feel real drunk.
Do you want to go on a walk?
I love what?
Where are you having brunch on your perfect day?
Gaddy's
Pizza.
Mr. Gaddy's Buffet, Playland.
So
thank you, David.
On a perfect day,
you're
included. On a perfect day, Gaddy's would serve alcohol and have a Sunday or like a
The waiter would be a little taken aback when we order the mimosas, and then they would look at us and they would see the passion in our eyes and go, you know what? I'm going to make an exception today.
That sounds like a good
Hey, Gary, will you go to the HEB and get some mimosa, orange juice, and champagne and bring it back to Mr. Gaddy so we can serve these two fine gentlemen?
No characters on a spirit quest. Vision quest. All right, so
blowing this.
You're doing great.
You're just a little day drunk. So
okay,
stay
a little day drunk.
The answer's in each other's
eyes. The server comes and sits down, and I'm real real charming to her, and I'm not at all just like polite and businesslike as I normally am with servers.
Right, Mr. Business.
So she's like, "These guys are cool. They're not. They don't want anything from me."
A
and we don't.
Wave of jealousy comes crashing over my body.
This is a perfect day, huh?
You don't understand, Mac.
I don't.
I get off on this.
Oh, now I do.
I'm insane with jealousy, and he knows it.
I know it, and it is perfect. And I'm genuinely enjoying my conversation with the server, but mostly I'm just enjoying driving Byron crazy with jealousy.
I am being tortured. I'm sweating. I'm crawling out of my fucking skin.
I'm asking questions to her that he wishes I would ask to him. Like, what's been the most exciting part of your day? What are you looking forward to this week?
He's never asked me that.
How long do you talk to the server for?
15 minutes.
Okay, so it's like...
She like gets hypnotized by me. All her other tables are just waiting.
Yeah. The pizza trays are empty.
They're barren.
Yeah.
There's so much tension in the room. All the other customers are pissed off because they're not getting attention from the server, and I'm not getting attention from Sam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a Pulp Fiction robbery situation almost. The tenseness is off the charts. And Byron puts his hand down my pants once again.
And I proceed to give you a fucking blowjob in the middle of the Mr. Gaddy's.
Smash cut. 3 p.m.
Oh. Jesus.
3 p.m.
Your perfect game has a lot of lost time.
We encounter...
Ice your jaw, Byron.
We encounter some road ragers. They have a gun. They're threatening us with a gun because we cut them off on 183. We're at a stoplight on the access road.
Old Chevy pickup truck behind us.
We have access to an AK-47. I turn to Sam. I say, "Do you think we should use this right now?"
It's in our hiding spot, buried off the highway, but only one street over.
Sam looks at me in the eyes and with just in total earnest says, "No. I don't think we have to use our AK today. I think it's going to be a good day."
So we go to their truck.
You see what I did there? I was referencing the Ice Cube song.
Yeah, that was good day, not perfect day.
Oh, fuck.
3 p.m.
We go to the truck. They get out. We get into a shoving match. We each put our hands down each of their pants.
Oh, my God.
Smash cut, 7 p.m.
What?
Wow. Hold on.
Again. You lose a lot of time.
A lot of scene missing.
It's interesting.
Lost time.
So what's happening at 7?
Dinner time. Same restaurant that we had brunch at.
So Gaddy's.
Gaddy's.
Back to Gat.
We have a good pepperoni pizza. Smash cut. 9 p.m.
2 hours eat that pizza.
I have diarrhea. The kind of diarrhea that is painful but pleasurable at the same time.
Oh, I know the. I know the kind.
Oh yeah.
It feels like a release.
Yeah. Yeah.
The old diarrhea relief.
It's like stress just pouring out of your BH.
That is the perfect day.
Oh.
That is the perfect day.
So when do you guys wrap it up?
Oh, I just fall asleep watching Sopranos on HBO Go.
Pretty good.
Well, guys, thanks for coming on the show. And for folks who aren't spying on us right now, they just high five.
The high fives are going around.
So guys, if you want to see that kind of magic on stage and that kind of giggling and homosexuality... come to Cold Town Theater, 8:30 p.m. every Friday to see Bad Boys, which is a really great show.
Thank you. If you guys can't see right now, but I am sticking my tongue out in a very playful sort of Britney Spears type way, like, haha, I'm a goofball.
What a goofball.
I haven't seen Bad Boys in a while, but two times I saw you guys, it was so funny.
Thank you.
Couldn't recommend it enough.
Good show every time.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. No problem. So, David, now it's time for our big announcement.
Oh, right. Shit.
So, this is episode what?
292.
And what's happening?
With 292 or just in general about life?
In general. What's our big announcement here?
Well, the big announcement is at episode 300, we are ending the show.
That's right. Mascot Wedding Show will hang up our Radio Lion Mains, Podcast Lion Mains. Whatever, we're stopping the show.
Yeah, yeah. And
300.
This is not a drill. This is not one of those leaving the radio station kind of things, because I am moving. I am leaving town. So there will be no more Mac and David. So, yeah, we're coming up to the end of this.
And, but guys, I want to tell you something right now. Please do not think that we are ending a show with a whimper.
Yeah.
Like Brent Spiner's character when he died on Independence Day, just captured by an alien.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to end with a bang. Like Randy Quaid's character in Independence Day.
Yeah, that's right.
He flew his plane into the alien warship, blowing it up.
Yeah, exactly.
We got a lot of fun stuff planned for our final eight episodes?
Eight episodes, yeah.
Yeah, and tell you what, and that's the thing. We don't want to go out on a low note, we want to go on our highest note possible. So you might be thinking, well, time to, if this ship is sinking, time to jump off. We're not sinking, guys.
Nah, homie.
We got one final battle before we put ourselves in the dock, and then we become one of those tourist boats.
That's right.
That, you know, dads drag their kids to.
We're going helms deep on this piece.
That's right. And so if you like this show, now is the time to leave us an iTunes review. Now is the time to share a favorite episode on Facebook or Twitter or something like that. And now's the time to show your support for it so we can go out, you know, like a party instead of like everyone leaves and there's one guy doing a solo J.O.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, the episodes will still be there on iTunes, and the mascotwedding.com website will still be there. Spread the word. Let people know that this thing that you like is going away. So catch it while you still can, because, yeah, I'm looking forward to finishing this thing out the right way.
That's right. This is episode 300. It's not like it's episode 17, and we're like, man, we don't give a shit about this
We
thing.
Ran out of episodes of My So-Called Life to talk about. Nah.
Yeah. This isn't that show, The Sopranos, where it fades to black and people are like, nah, that was dumb.
That's right. We're fading black and we're ending on something cool.
Yeah. It's going to be like The Wire when you get that extra long episode. And you're like, yeah, you know what, guys? They fucking did it.
Yeah.
This is where Walter White playing Baby Blue as the camera pans over a dead body.
That's right, after I shoot Mac.
Oh!
I'm the last thing he sees when I shoot his knees out.
Dang! Is that what's going to happen? Stay tuned. But yeah, guys, stay tuned to the show, and I hope you enjoy the last 8 episodes. That's... So we're also going to double up on Mascot Wedding Gold Lions, too.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll be trying to post a lot more of those as we close out our run here, our historic run.
Yeah, so don't give up on us. Stick around, and we're going to make it worth your while.
Yes. Well, anyway, guys, that was our show. David, how should we leave today's show?
Oh, boy. Perhaps we're in some sort of sauna with a locked door.
Okay. Oh, my God, David.
I'm so glad to get that news out there finally. Just, it feels good. I feel relaxed now.
You know what feels so good?
What's that?
A, getting off my chest. Like,
of course, of course, of course.
And B, just chilling here in the sauna.
Just getting a schwitz going.
I know, just sweating. I just didn't think it would feel as good.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, I'm too relaxed. I kind of got a deuce out, so I'm going to... Hang on. This... Hey, Matt, could you... You're stronger than me. Could you try this door?
Are you sure you're even at the door? It's kind of hard to see with all the mist.
No, I'm on... there's... Stain. I'm holding onto a knob of some... Oh. Oh. Could you move out of the way, sir, please? I'm trying to get to the door.
Oh,
okay.
Man, that guy... Does not look happy with you.
No, his penis was weird too, like a button of peppermint.
All right, David, I'm at the door. It is not opening.
Oh, it's not opening.
The steam's getting hotter in here.
There's one thing you got to do, Mac.
What's that?
You got to get your gun. You got to shoot your way out.
I knew when you suggested bringing a gun in a sauna was a good idea. You know what, David? There's only one way out of this.
How's that?
Goodbye, David.
No, no, you were my ride home.
The Tasty Podcast Network at tastypodcast.com.
It's Memorial Day week. Prepare to laugh your nips off as Hometown Theater proudly presents the 6th annual Austin Sketch Fest at Hometown Theater and the Spire House Ballroom. We got all your favorite high octane sketch comedy acts from New York, LA, Chicago, and more. With brown hair, 100% stuff, us fucking maker, bullshit women, don't we boys, with headliners, Brett Whitebuck, and from Kroll Show, and Comedy Bang Bang, Joe Winker, Sunday, it's Master Pancake Theater, and a live comedy album recording from stand-up comedian Brian Gutman. Fest Pass is available for $60.
For passes and individual tickets, go to
ATXSketchFest.com. Austin Sketch Fest. Be there or be shared.